Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is 2:08. You're listening to News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. It's the Chad Hartman Show, but Chad is out. I'm in. My name is Shaletta Brundage. I'm in Cottage Grove at the satellite location. Dan Cook is in the WCCO studio in downtown Minneapolis, taking very, very good care of me today. And I need it because my heart is broken. When I found out former U.S. Secretary of State Colin Powell had died after complications from COVID-19. He was the first black U.S. Secretary of State. He was 84 years old. And as many of you have heard in Laura's reporting, he died from multiple, he had multiple myeloma, a type of blood cancer in plasma cells, and it suppresses the body's immune system. And even if fully vaccinated against COVID-19, you know, and we've been told this so many times, for folks who are immunocompromised, they're at a greater risk from the virus. And so just to kind of talk about Colin Powell's legacy and what it means to this country and his service to people and politicians. I wanted to speak to somebody who could talk to me about that. And, you know, I don't know if we'll ever understand the impact that this military leader had on all of us. And so I wanted to bring in Dr. Keith Mays from the University of Minnesota to join me here on the Chad Hartman Show. Dr. Mays, thank you for being here.
Shaletta, no problem. Thanks for having me.
When you heard that Colin Powell had died, what was your first reaction?
Well, I was shocked. I was shocked and began to think about, you know, his contribution to American politics, his contribution to black pride in many ways, for lack of a better term. His actual contribution to the political climate that we are in today, because he was a voice of moderation. He was a moderate Republican at a time where our politics back then in the 90s seemed to be very polarized. But in comparison to today, it seems as though they were not. But, you know, I admired his honesty. He was a very principled man. He took stances that were very controversial for himself politically and professionally. So I thought about all those things when I heard the news this morning.
And his family put out a statement and said, "We have lost a remarkable and loving husband, father, grandfather, and a great American." And if you look at Powell's distinguished and trailblazing professional career, a soldier, combat duty in Vietnam, and to become the first black national security advisor during the end of Ronald Reagan's presidency, and the youngest and first African-American chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff under President George H.W. Bush, his popularity soared. He, you know, they thought about him running for president at one point, and, you know, they put the feelers out and they were doing all the you know, the research to find out if that was a possibility. You know, when you look at his legacy and how he was able to use his service in this country's military to forge out a historic place in society. That was not as easy as he made it look.
No, it was not. Given the fact that he was born in Harlem, raised in the South Bronx during the height of Jim Crow. Jim Crow, I think he was born in 1939, 1940. So right before World War II. And at a time growing up in the cities that were ravaged by, you know, poverty. But went to my alma mater. He went to City College of the City University of New York, CUNY.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I'm born in Harlem. I'm born in New York City. So, you know, I really felt his loss personally. But you're right. He rose through the ranks, Shaletta. He came up in the way that many of our political leaders have come up. But I think that there's a sense that there either one, there's not an appreciation for that kind of evolution, personal and professional evolution. Like you said, he served in Vietnam, and he became the Joint Chiefs, and then he became part of a civilian public service, and he served this country well. And I think at a time when people are disrespecting that kind of trajectory from serving this country in the military, and the mere fact that you end up being someone who was considered for the highest office in the land. I mean, people implored him to run, I think it was in 1996, and it was the beginning of Bill Clinton had just did one term, and there were folks who were saying that if you run this Black Republican, he would have won had he, and they said he was a shoo-in to get the Republican primary, and if he ran in the general against Bill Clinton, he would have won. Because he would have got a lot of Black support. He was that beloved as a figure, although he was a Republican.
Mm-hmm.
And Republicans were problematic for a lot of Black folks because of the first Iraq War and the ways in which the Republican as a party sort of decimated the civil rights program that was created in the 60s and 70s. They kind of began to roll it back in the 80s under Reagan. So the Republican Party wasn't trusted, but he was a trusted Republican figure, even among Black folk. So had he run with that stellar record, as you just talked about, I think he would have been our first Black president and not Barack Obama.
Wow, that's saying a lot. Okay, we're going to put a pin right there because I want you to think about that. And we're going to come back and talk more with Dr. Keith Mays from the University of Minnesota about the legacy of Colin Powell when we come back. We are talking about the legacy of Colin Powell here on the Chad Hartman Show with my friend Dr. Keith Mays from the University of Minnesota. And, you know, I had to put a pause in it because I wasn't ready for it. I had to get a cough drop and take a drink because you said something that people have long whispered, but nobody said out loud. Had Colin Powell run, he may have been our first Black president and not Barack Obama.
Yes.
You're going to have to break that one down for me, Brother Keith.
Yes. Well, I mean, Shaletta, I think that we were longing for the day that someone, Black male or Black female, would be able to, at least. I mean, we had, I shouldn't, I was gonna, let me pause. I was going to say something that I don't want to say now, but let me back up. So we've had a lot of Black presidential candidates, from Shirley Chisholm on down to Jesse Jackson, Reverend Al Sharpton. And we knew, the Black community kind of knew that those folks would never win, right? They would never win a general election.
Yeah.
But I think that the first person that we thought could actually win a primary and a general was Colin Powell. The problem with Powell was that he was on the other side of the political aisle, as it were. He was a Republican, and most Blacks were Democrats. But they thought that he was such an important figure in racial progress and Black racial progress. What I mean that the culmination of the United States embracing Black folks would have been, we thought at that time in the 80s and 90s would have been that if the country was able to elect a Black president, we thought that the country would have advanced to the degree to which we can say that they are now accepting Black folks in the family of Americans. Now, in retrospect, after Barack Obama, we realized that wasn't the case because we didn't achieve that post-racial society that people thought the Barack's election would have brought. But at the time, he was the greatest symbol, or one of the greatest symbols of Black progress. He just happened to be a Republican. Now, folks didn't know what to do with that. But if the Republican Party was smart, it would have convinced Colin and his wife and his family to have that brother run on its side, because the first Black president could have been a Republican and not a Democrat. I think the Republican Party missed an opportunity. And I think we actually missed an opportunity as well in many different ways.
He had a 71% favorability rating in the first few years after the war. His efforts during the war also earned him two prominent awards. He got the Congressional Gold Medal in March of 1991 and a Presidential Medal of Freedom. Big Daddy Bush is what we call him in Texas. He gave Colin Powell the award at the White House in a ceremony, and he said he had deep compassion for every one of the thousands of men and women under his command. And, you know, that's one of the things he'll always be remember by. And, you know, I think about, you know, some of his most famous quotes and some of the things that he said, and they were always about leadership, and yes, they were always about, you know, soldiers and people coming to you. And, you know, people talk about his strategizing and, you know, his dealing with people and his diplomacy. And, you know, one of the things that struck me in what you're talking about is him being the first Black president, is he was in those circles and he was able to sit at the table and lead the smartest people. And that's something that we had not gotten an opportunity to do, because people didn't see us in that way. You know, we think about a Shirley Chisholm, we think about a Jesse Jackson, we think about an Al Sharpton. They're electrifying, they're charismatic, but people did not trust them the way that they trusted Colin Powell.
Absolutely. You're spot on with that. And, you know, here's another thing that I remember him doing. This is why I say he was a very principled man. Although he was part of both Iraq wars, that second war, he basically stood up and said, "I've been lied to by my bosses. The president lied to me, George Bush, and Dick Cheney lied to me. There were no weapons of mass destruction." I think that caught him off guard, and he was deeply disappointed in the fact that the Bush administration sold the American public on a war that was about removing weapons of mass destruction from Iraq. It sort of became a total lie, mm-hmm, because Colin Powell had to sell the war to the American people. And so I think there was a falling out between Powell, Cheney, and Bush that I don't think ever repaired itself. Yes, Bush went on to praise him every chance he got, but I don't think Colin Powell ever forgave them for that, for putting him up to the American public to sell us on an ill-conceived war, basically a war of lies. And so how many politicians in an administration, yeah, Coletta, would have done that, would have stood up and said that, "I don't like the fact that you guys lied to me and the public"? He did that.
Okay, and this is the thing. You know, we all know how the game is played. So when the cameras are on and the lights are on, they're going to praise you. But behind, mm-hmm, the scenes, you know, he took some heat. He had to go to Alma and talk to her about that. He had to, yep, make a decision that, yes, I'm going to have repercussions, but I'm going to get out here and speak my truth. This is long before we even had the phrase "speaking truth to power." He knew, mm-hmm, there were going to be consequences, and he did it anyway. Why not just hush up, go along, play along, and get to the point where you want to get in your career and just go with the flow?
And he did it again, Shaletta, when he said that, "I'm going to throw my support behind Senator Barack Obama."
Oh, that did it right there. That was it. That was it. That was it. He was on the outs. He could no longer go to their picnic. He was no longer invited to the picnic, not even the to-go plate.
And I think he renounced his party affiliation. I think he no longer said he was a Republican after that. So, in many ways, again, how many men would be courageous enough to do that and say, "Listen, I'm going to stand on right. Whatever right is, I'm going to stand on it." And he took a lot of heat from the black community from being a Republican in the first place.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
And he took a lot of heat for supporting Barack Obama when he ran in 2008. Because he saw Barack as an extension of himself.
I was just going to say, I just remember, you know, the Republicans dismissing it as, oh, this is just a black man supporting another black man, as if Colin Powell is not smart enough and learned enough and educated enough and principled enough to see the future, to talk to this man and make a decision, not based on his skin color, but based on his character and his vision and his goals for the country. I always resented that when, you know, Fox News and others said, well, the reason Colin Powell is supporting him is because he's just a black man and there's no other reason. I just that always got in my under my skin.
Look at the two, but compare them. I mean, in terms of their values, the way they live their lives, the way they serve the country, the history of public service between them. I mean, they are kind of two peas in a pod.
Yeah.
He saw himself in Barack. And so he was going to support that. And again, I think that we are, this is what the country is lacking. We have not produced enough Colin Powells that are still in politics today. And that's our loss. And I think we're going to suffer greatly for not cultivating more men and women like Colin Powell.
Okay, before you go, because I know you got to run, what's the one thing you want people to remember about Colin Powell today?
I think that he was a consensus-oriented leader. He wasn't somebody who was dictatorial in the way that he talked to people. He was someone who believed in education. I think that if you read any of his speeches, read any of his texts, he is a big believer of education. He was a believer in fairness as well. He took a lot of flack for his affirmative action stance. And again, affirmative action was something that was not embraced by the Republican Party. And, you know, he thought that that was important for black, brown, and women to have in order for them to be full participant and members of American society. So fairness, I mean, he just has so many skill sets, so many things in the toolbox that I think that it was apropos that City College CUNY would name their program after them. They created a Colin Powell School of Civics and Global Leadership, and because that spoke to who he was, you know, as a person, more so than as a professional, as a politician, as a general. You know, that's just the essence of who this man was.
Mm-hmm. I look at the family, you know, his wife,
yes,
and his children and his grandchildren. Mm-hmm. And you see that also paralleled with Barack Obama, the family, the wife and the kids. And, you know, you just enjoy seeing that in those images. We don't get enough of that every night on TV. The black family being productive, looking good. Mm-hmm. Everybody had mm-hmm. done, and, you know, everybody went to college, and don't nobody owe nobody $20 for nothing. You know, so many times when we see those images, you know, of us on TV and in the news, they are not positive. And we had 8 years of that with Barack Obama. And I just remember my family members, my grandmother, being so prideful about the way that Colin Powell presented his family and his wife and his children to the mainstream media, and to be able to see that with him when he was, you know, in, you know, not office, but had his positions. And then to see that again with Barack Obama, I was reminded of that when you said they were kind of two peas in a pod.
Yes. And, you know, I talked about the Republican Party not seizing the moment and having him run. You know, Alma that said, told him he wasn't going to do it.
Yeah.
He ain't doing this, y'all. Y'all can't.
Miss Alma was like, no, not today, Satan. But, you know, Michelle Obama said the same thing initially.
She was like,
nope, not going to do it. Not going to happen. And, you know, Barack is persuasive. I just see him, you know, kind of, you know, using his charms to convince her otherwise. You know, Mr. Powell was, you know, more right. military and obedient. He knew Alma was in charge, so he was like, the boss said no, we're gonna go through the chain of command. The answer's no. Let's move on. Next question. Well, I thank you for answering all my questions, Dr. Keith Mays with the University of Minnesota. I appreciate you being here on Chad Hartman Show.
Oh, thank you, Shaletta. I appreciate it. Thanks for inviting me. Have a good day.
All right, you too. And we got a parenting segment coming up next. Laura's got a great kid. And, you know, I just watch her boy and I look at her boy and I think about my boy. And I'm always asking her about lessons, about how to raise good sons. And, you know, what do you do when you have this issue? What do you do when you have that issue? And everything she's always told me has been spot on. And whenever I did it, I had good results. So I need to find out what to do about an issue I'm having with my son and privacy and his cell phone. That question when we come back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.